You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Mixed Martial Arts Hour with
the Mixed Martial Arts Hour back in your life on this Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. Hello again, everyone. I'm Ariel Helwani inside our New York City studio. You didn't think you would see me 2 days later, right? I didn't think I'd be here. Remember at the end of the show on Monday, I said goodbye. I reminded you that we're off next Monday due to Memorial Day. I told you we'd be back next Tuesday. But a funny thing happened along the way, my friends. Around Monday night or so, some communications started, some talks started, and we said, you know what? In the history of this program, in the 7-year history of this show, we have only done one special edition of the show. And that was when, remember, Brian Stan announced his retirement to the surprise of the entire MMA community in July of 2013. That is the only time we have ever done a special edition of the MMA Hour from this studio. Today, my friends, we do it a second time. And this one is worthy of doing a special edition of the show. In a matter of moments, we are going to be joined by the man who, in my opinion, has turned the MMA world upside down in many, many different ways. One of the biggest draws in the sport, one of the most popular fighters in the sport. Every single day, people are talking about him, thinking what's going to happen to him next, what's he going to do next, where is he going to fight next, who's he going to fight next. Everyone's talking about Nate Diaz these days. And when we had the opportunity to talk to Nate Diaz live on this program, live for all of you on this Wednesday, May 25th, 2016, at approximately 4 p.m. Eastern, we jumped at the opportunity. This doesn't happen often, my friends. So without further ado, let me welcome in our special guest. It's all about one man today, my friends. It's all about one guest. Let me welcome in the one and only Nate Diaz, joining us live from the 209 from beautiful Stockton, California. Nate, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Nate. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it very much. I know you're a busy man, a lot of people knocking at your door, so thank you for the time here today. What a 24-hour stretch it has been for you. Not only are you doing this show, but I believe you got a really special award yesterday in Stockton, right?
Yeah, they gave me an award for, let me see what it says.
Let's see it. You got it?
Yeah, I got it right here. My boy brought it to me from the Capitol. I was supposed to go, I don't know how to reverse.
That, wow.
Assembly resolution.
What's it say?
It says all kinds of shit.
Did you know you were getting that?
No, yeah, they called me a while back. I was supposed to go down to the Capitol in Sacramento and pick it up at the Capitol. My boy, he works there. He's like a politician and stuff, and he's like, they wanted me to award me with this thing for pretty much, it's got all kind of credentials on there, but it's for like negative to positive
I type of report. I like that.
And I went from negative to positive.
That's a beautiful way of describing the last few months for you. So it's about your work in the community. It's about the big win, all that. They just wanted to honor you, right? Did they name yesterday? Like, is that Nate Diaz Day in Stockton?
California.
Oh, damn. Look at that. Look at you. You've come a long way.
Yeah. No, I was supposed to go down, and they were nominating me for something handed to me at the Capitol, but it was the same day as that UFC 200 press conference in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So I had to take a rain check, and then they ended up just bringing it down to the gym, to the academy, and hugging it up.
Did you just go outside, Nate? Are you outside now?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Connection was actually better when you were inside. Do you mind going back inside?
Yeah.
It was pretty darn good inside. I don't know what's the difference, but want to hear everything that you're saying. All right, well, that has to be up there as far as like awards and accomplishments, accolades, right? Getting that from your state?
Yeah, from the state. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was definitely.
Oh, okay. All right, so a lot going on in your life. How the last, what has it been? 2.5 months for you. Would you describe this as like the best time of your life? Are you just having like the most fun? Like, this is sort of the, you know, the riches that come along with everything that you've worked for throughout your life career. Like, are you just like on top of the world still? Are you just enjoying life right now?
It's just pretty much like, feels like, oh, that's you. Only a little different, I guess. I don't know. And not much has changed.
Not much has changed. Same old, same old.
Same old thing for me, yeah.
I'm seeing you train with Jean-Claude Van Damme with your brother. That wasn't, hanging out with,
that's changed.
That's changed.
Some cool things have happened. He contacted us. One of his boys contacted, one of our boys that we met up in Los Angeles in Venice, I think. We went to the Gold Gym out there, and we worked for probably a week and a half, going every day, and it was pretty cool getting a little Van Damme workout system, and then showing some techniques afterwards. He was putting us up on game with some of the stuff he liked to do, and then he was asking us about jiu-jitsu and all kinds of cool shit. It was pretty surreal, I guess you could say. We grew up watching his movies, and now we're in the gym working out with him and hanging out. And he just hit us up again to come out and meet with him and hang out. He's a nice guy, a really cool guy, somebody that I've been watching for a long time. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that wasn't happening before. So that's a nice byproduct of, you know, all these changes in your life. Did he like break down, was he doing some Sensei Seagal stuff with you, like breaking down your technique, your film and all that, giving you tips on how to fight, or was it more just you guys training together?
No, we were more like hanging out and talking about life and what was what, and being for real. He's a real person. He's not like, it was crazy because I hung out with him and I was thinking that too. I was like, well, what are they going to do? Is he going to be like a for real dude, or is he gonna be like some type of hype thing like Steven Seagal? But I met up with him, and it was for real. So one of his friends started recording us while we were talking and drilling moves and stuff, and he's like, hey, turn that off, this isn't for that.
Nice.
He's like, we're hanging out, man. He's like these are good dudes and badass martial artists. I just feel like that it's cool to be around and hang out and talk fighting shit, and it was pretty cool. So I think we spit it out there before he spit it out there that we're even hanging, you know? So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And by the way, wherever you are right now, the connection is amazing here. So you look crystal clear and sound perfect as well. So that's a great spot.
Don't move, huh? Don't move.
In other words.
Ariel Helwani ready my life right now.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I want to hear what you're saying. Okay, so a busy time as always. Of course, everyone wants to know about this meeting last Friday in Stockton. The boss men came to check you out. They came to Stockton. Was this the first time that Dana and or Lorenzo came to Stockton to meet with you face to face?
Yeah, for sure. It was the first time. They never been out here, so it was cool.
How did that come about?
Get the boss men in town, huh? It was pretty legit. Well, I haven't heard nothing since that UFC 200 fight fell out, and it was like it was kind of crazy for me. The wheels never stopped ticking, clicking. You know, I fought, and the very next day they were calling me saying I would find Conor again after the last fight. So it was never really a recovery or hangout session. That's why I went to that UFC 200 press conference. They asked me, and I said, "Well, I'm going on vacation if this fight's not happening," mm-hmm. because it was really like fight camp started when I started training for the first fight, and it never ended. And they hit me up after that 200 a little while later, talking about UFC 202. Am I right? 202,
yep.
Right?
August 20th, right?
Yeah, they hit me up about UFC 202. And I said, I didn't even answer. I said, all right, well, I wonder what's going to happen with that, you know. And then before you know it, I was like training. And then I hear all this Mayweather-McGregor shit. And I feel like that's just a big old publicity stunt to hide the fact that he got his ass whooped. So I'm sitting here like, okay. And then I see on the internet that Dana and them went to dinner the other day, right? That was all over the internet.
In Beverly Hills.
Yeah, and they left happy and laughing. And I was like, and I'm sitting back and I'm like, well, I guess I'm cut out of that whole deal. They're having a big old happy meeting about whatever. He must be fighting Mayweather. I didn't believe it, but that must be what's going on, right? And then they called me the next day and they were like, or they called my management the next day and said, so are you in or not? And I'm like, what the fuck? Where the fuck is my, where's my dinner? You know what I'm saying? Where's my special meeting? So I think they started laughing with my management. And they're like, all right, we'll be down tomorrow at noon.
Oh, wow.
And then they came out. Yeah. So they came out and we had lunch down at Market Tavern in Stockton, this nice restaurant. One of the show somebody else that this isn't a bad place to live. There's nice places too.
Right.
And so we went to lunch and we had a talk and everything went how it did and they went home. I just basically told him what was up. I said, look, that was the biggest fight. They've had, I believe, right? Me versus Conor was the biggest numbers they've done, or second biggest, or
right below. Like that. If we are to believe the numbers, right below UFC 100. The talk is that it did 1.5 million on pay per view. UFC 100 did around 1.67. But this fight, as you know, your fight came together in 11 days, and it was just another number. It wasn't a centennial event or anything like that. So. A pretty huge feather in your cap.
Yeah, so it's the second biggest. Yeah. The second biggest on 10 days. And some people know, I mean, a lot of people know Conor McGregor is a big draw. But I know, whether they want to say it or not, that I put bigger numbers than anybody, too. They just haven't had me on pay-per-view. They've been putting me on Fox cards. And then any time I've been on a pay-per-view, I've been on a co-main event or something. Someone else is getting the credit for my numbers, but I know what's really going on. If you look at the Fox numbers that I've been on from the last however long, they stuck me on these Fox cards, and I was getting like 3 million, 5 million views on Fox, I believe. And so I believe I haven't had a lot to do with that draw, you know. And I think a lot of people know, and they know, but no one's going to say anything. So I said that was one of the biggest fights he ever had on 10 days' notice. And he's the biggest draw that you've ever had. And I just beat your biggest draw. So if you don't mind, I would like to be compensated better than I was the last time, or that they were trying to offer me, because I've said yes to this fight with Conor McGregor 6 times.
Yeah.
And I fought him one time and I won the one time I fought him, you know. So you give me this up and down bullshit about whatever, and then they pulled the 200 card, and I was all for it when I shouldn't have been, because when the fuck have I ever got a rematch with anybody? I've lost plenty of fights that I've won a rematch of, rematches of, and I hardly lost. I really actually won most of them. I never got those rematches. And the people that I've tried to fight have been like, no way. I dodged a bullet on that one. They'll never want that fight again. And I ain't dodging no bullets, you know. It's like, I beat that guy, and I was like, I'll fight me in UFC 200. And then they pulled out, and then the UFC, he pulled out, and the UFC pulled out. I don't think the fight was ever on. I think they were buying more time. I think that I think that it's all, and now they're talking about Mayweather shit. It's all a cover-up, and it's all trying to hide the fact that he got his ass whooped, and that they want to buy more time to get better if we are going to fight. I think the Mayweather thing's a publicity stunt. And it's great for both of them, you know. It's like they got the boxing followers that are going to start following Conor, the MMA followers that are going to start following Floyd, and they're all benefiting. No one's losing there, so they're going to keep the ball rolling, keep the publicity stunt going. But every day when I hear about this Mayweather shit, I'm getting phone calls about, am I going to take the fight or not? So I'm like, it seems like this is a pretty big deal, so can I get compensated for it? And they weren't the happiest about that, but they're not talking to me about it right now. So we're working on it, and I think things are going to work out, get figured out.
TMZ reported moments after your meeting, your lunch with them, that Dana White was very upset that he stormed out of the restaurant. Is that true? Did that really happen?
No, that was exaggerated. We finished talking, and then we all walked out. It wasn't the worst meeting. It wasn't the best meeting, but it wasn't the worst meeting either. We went and we took a picture by that mural they got downtown here.
Yeah.
That was afterwards, and we hung out. We talked a little more, and they were cool, and I was cool. It was just business talk, and you know, we didn't both leave on the happiest notes, but I think stuff's getting done. I think we're moving forward.
Do you get the impression that they went to Stockton to try to close the deal, like thinking, all right, we had this fight at 200, you're just going to sign the – what's the difference? It's two events.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they thought that. But I'm like, this is a new deal. This is a new deal. This is a new fight. That was UFC 200. This is 202 now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I've said yes to 200, and I wasn't happy about saying – I wasn't happy with my I was rushed into my last thing anyway, you know. I'm like, why do I gotta fight this guy in two more months from now? Can I sit back and get more fun? Can I get built up a little bit? You see, like, Conor McGregor's an artificial, like, font. Like, they push him and went everywhere. He didn't get where he's at from whooping all kinds of asses and shit. I'm where I'm at because I've been in fight after fight after fight. I didn't do no media. I didn't do no shit. How many times have I been on your show? You caught me slipping. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do no media. I'm where I'm at because strictly fighting. Now he's where he's at because the UFC, like, kicked his ass in gear and put him on a pedestal and blew him up. How come he was such a big deal when he beat Dennis Seaver? Fuck is Dennis Seaver? Is that guy even ranked, you know? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Be like... I'm like, I didn't get no props when I fought Rory McDonald, the number one welterweight contender, and he couldn't finish me. I didn't get no props when I'm fighting Ben Henderson or everybody. I just got a long lineup of everybody. Everybody I fought in the last 8 years has been in the top 7 to 5 to 10, ranked 5 to 10, you know. So all my following is just from strictly ass-whooping and talking some real shit. And this motherfucker is like... This motherfucker's on top of the world because the UFC wanted his accent and little Irish fan base, and they give him some push. So they did that for him. He got a little ahead of himself and probably didn't realize that, and I did. And they want me to fight him at UFC 200 a week later or whatever, or a couple months later. I'm like, what about, can I sit back for a year and a half and fight Dennis Seaver and become the biggest draw and the biggest talk of the town? I don't think they wanted any of that. Instead, they started talking about Mayweather and McGregor, and he's the biggest. This is the new biggest thing. And I'm like, hold up, didn't he just get his ass whooped 2 months ago?
Yeah,
you know. So I lose some bullshit decisions, and then they're like, all right, let's not talk about him for forever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all I'm saying is he's more love. Like, he's getting pushed. They created that monster. You know what I'm saying? They did that to him. He didn't. My shit's off of straight realness. And then he wanted to dodge all that press to do all this training for fights. I've been saying that for years. I'm like, I ain't got time for this. I'm in the ass-whooping business, training to kill and be better than everybody. And everybody else is training to be a movie star. You know what I'm saying? And then nowadays, I'm sitting here thinking, like, fuck, maybe I sit back and do some press and not fight so much. See how good that goes for me. See if I get as much love as that little Irishman gets, you know? It's like, whatever. Because they're trying to put on a freak show fight, too, with Mayweather and him. They're talking, I run boxing and shit. I'm like, you just got boxed up. You didn't get tapped out. You know what I'm saying? He didn't get tapped out. He got beat up and shot. And I hear Mayweather saying he wins most of his fights by stand-up fights. By fighting stand-up, and I'm like, not with me. He was losing the stand-up part, and he took a shot. That was a way out. So I just think it's all fake, phony, and people should recognize it. I'm not saying you need to recognize, because let's see that Mayweather. I call your bluff. Fight Mayweather, motherfucker. Let's see how good. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right here sitting back like, okay, and what's going to happen? Mayweather's going to fucking whoop his ass in a boxing match. You know what I'm saying? Man, he's gonna, and then I keep hearing all the boxers. I'm big into boxing. I've been saying it for years. Like, I grew up in boxing gyms just like I grew up in a jiu-jitsu gym. I've been in boxing gyms up at King's Boxing Gym in Oakland and Sacramento Kickboxing Inc. and a bunch of high level boxing gyms I've been at since I was 16 years old. And I'm always like, the MMA fighters, they can't box, they can't punch, they can't. They don't even train right, you know. They don't train like real boxers. They can't punch for shit. And now all the boxers are criticizing Conor, like, fucking Conor won't get embarrassed. It's like, yeah, he will get embarrassed. He will. And you're all right. But that's a real arrogant thing to say. And Conor's such a dumbass for talking this, because he's down to go fight in a boxing match. Want to know something even more embarrassing is that if Floyd fought Conor in an MMA match, would be more embarrassing than if Conor fought Floyd in a boxing match.
For who?
No, I didn't mean to get on that topic. That's just a thought. You know what I'm saying?
Embarrassing?
Like you would get mounted in like in a minute. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get mounted and laughed at and then slapped around and smile at the crowd and wave. There's no chance. Like, don't fucking give me that shit.
Man, there's so much I want to ask you. Let me just finish on this Mayweather thing. Do you think that they are putting this out, leaking this to people to try to put pressure on you to say, like, look, if you don't take this rematch, if you
I do.
You do?
I do think that. Yep. We're on the same page here.
Yeah. So you
think. That's exactly what I think. Because every time I hear more about it, I get a call. I'm like, hey, I call your bluff. Fight that motherfucker then. I'll be right here. I'm the only one out of the three of us who could say that. I'll whip both of their asses in one night. Because Conor can't say that. Floyd definitely cannot say that. You know what I'm saying? You want a real fight, you fucking put me with one of those boxers, and I guarantee you I could beat them in boxing. At boxing. I'm the only one who's sparred with boxers on that high of a level. I've been sparred 4-month camp with Andre Ward and been at King's Boxing Gym, and I sparred with Alan Sanchez, who's top ranked 147, 150. I forget what weight class, but he's the champion at 147, I think. And he walks around about 160, but I spar him for the fights. He's ranked like number 7 or 6 or 5 or some shit. I don't know his exact credentials in boxing, so it's hard for me to keep up. But I'm the only one box people on that higher level in boxing, you know? I'm the guy Alan Sanchez I train with, he just trained all the way through Canelo's with Canelo through his fight camp for Khan. And these are the people I'm boxing with and sparring with. And you got this guy fucking bouncing around sparring with some clown from wherever over at Freddie Rush's gym. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about that guy. You're flossing that guy? I'll beat that guy's ass, too. And Conor should beat that guy's ass. That guy was on the internet talking shit on him the other day. I'm like, what kind of sparring partners you got? You're over here getting fucking danced around and that guy's talking shit about whatever. I'll show up to that guy's gym and beat his ass if I was Conor. I'm like, what? You're going to fucking put me on blast about what? You don't know shit. Like, what gives you the right to talk shit, criticize if we're working together when I'll beat your ass for real, you know? Like, don't even speak if I don't know. That's my thoughts. If I was him, I'd go down to that gym and whoop that guy's ass. I'd box him in the ring, whoop his ass, and then throw him down at the end. Give him a slap. I got problems, huh, Ariel? I'm no. thinking too much.
I love this.
Rambling.
Oh, my God. I have like a million questions. So I'll just take the bait here. You fight or you box Mayweather in a boxing match. What happens? What do you think happens?
Well, Mayweather is the best boxer that there is at winning fights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I might even go there okay. or pop in. I ain't been boxing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't been in high level boxing matches with him like that. But I'll bet guarantee I do better than McGregor would. You know what I'm saying? I've been on the high level. Yeah, like you got that fool gassed out and Conor gassed out in 6 minutes. I panicked or something. I'm like, you panic? Don't panic. You can't panic. And then with Floyd Mayweather, he knocked out. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like that's amateur style boxing.
So when you were like sitting down,
yeah, like when you do good for like, if I go in and box somebody in a boxing ring and they're good for two or three or four rounds, and then they just wear off and start losing completely, that's amateur shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Better be in there for 12 rounds, ready to rock and roll the whole time, and if you lose a couple rounds, you got to be able to recover, recoup, and come back in a few rounds. But that amateur boxing style, he's got. Not that he's not good. Not that he's not doing a good job and has good, like you said, good timing and good punches and stuff. Better than most people in MMA can box, but you're gonna need a lot of work. And that would sell a lot of tickets for sure. Everybody would go see that, whether they say they would or wouldn't. And that but the boxers are clowns sometimes. Now they're like, I'm never taking the MMA fighters over the boxers side. Too, when it comes to this, but I punching and shit. But I'm like, dude, don't be talking shit because they get embarrassed. This is ridiculous. We're even talking. We're like, yeah, but we're talking real fighting now. You one dimensional boxing fucks. This is fucking like real life. Real life shit. Like you'll get embarrassed.
When you sat down with them last week, last Friday, did they even mention that this was on the table, or do you think it's just out there in the media? Like, because they came to you to try to agree to the Conor rematch on August 20th, if there's talk, like you have these guys on Fox, I don't know if you saw Colin Cowherd saying that the fight is on for September 17th, Conor versus Floyd. How could the fight be on if they're coming to you on Friday to offer you Conor?
It's rumors. Somebody's letting out because they're both benefiting off each other's fan bases and they're both building off of it. They don't care if it happens or not. They're both winning right now from the talk even happening.
Sure.
Me and you are talking about it right now.
Yeah.
But this is the truth about what's really going on. It's the media working their ways and they're loving it. They're eating up. They're probably having dinner together every night. Yeah, we're fucking, what I'm saying?
So when the lunch or
that makes sense.
Yeah, the lunch ends on Friday. Do you still feel like you got the fight? Do you even want the fight at this point? You said you didn't get a lot of rematches.
Hey, I don't even give a fuck.
Okay.
I didn't get. If I got my ass whooped, I'd be begging for the fight.
Sure.
Give me my fight back, please. That's how a real fighter does it. They want I still been wanting all the fight forever that I lost. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted every single one of them. Never didn't want to fight those motherfuckers every day, still, for free. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about in the cage. Now motherfuckers are benefiting off of me, but you know what I'm saying? I have always wanted the rematch. Because if you don't want a rematch with somebody who beat you, especially like that, or any way finished you, especially, then I don't know what the fuck you're in this for. Because I'm in this thing to be the best, baddest motherfucker there is. And money apart, fighter first. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, I don't want that fight. So I'm not begging for this fight.
No.
But everybody else seems to be, and it sounds absurd when I ask for a raise. Motherfucker, you tripping. Who's tripping? I don't think I'm tripping. So.
I've always wanted to ask you this question. I want to go back to July of 2014. Okay, July of 2014, we're in Dublin, Ireland, and you were kind of taking a bit of a break. And a reporter, Shamadkar Sandhu, asked Dana White a question about you. And I want to play you this 20-second clip and then get your reaction to it, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here's the clip. July of 2014, Dublin, Ireland. Here you go.
He's under contract, He's under contract. When he's ready to fight, he can fight, The kid makes good money. The kid makes really good money, And the unfortunate part is he's not a needle mover. His brother is a needle mover. He's not.
Oh, that's cool.
You remember that one?
That's cold, Dana.
And how about here? Here we are now. You're one of the biggest draws. They're coming to Stockton to talk to you. Has that always sat with you and saying, I'm going to prove to you? Because the media, when we heard that, we still talk about that because, you know, later on in that clip, we were talking about your Fox ratings and the fact that you never headline a pay-per-view. You know, sometimes you have to take these things with a grain of salt, given the circumstances.
They had to deal with Fox. They had to deal with Fox. They had to reach certain numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, and you know what I'm saying? You know how the deals work with this. They have to hit certain numbers. For Fox,
right?
Like
ratings.
This month, you got to hit these certain numbers, yep. Or however it works, right?
Sure, sure.
Who are they putting on all the headlines of the Fox shows? They're like, we'll get this guy who's the needle mover, and we won't have to pay him extra for it. And they're like, this is free TV. I'm like, wait, let's not get it twisted. Free for motherfuckers at home who aren't playing for pay-per-view, but you guys are getting paid. That's how it works, you know?
Mm.
So I understood what was going on, and they wanted to be like, that's why they're not on pay-per-views. That's not a... I already knew what was up. This isn't newly developed information for me, you know? Mm. I was up on game, and because I cuss a little and tell people, fuck off, like, we don't get the... Like, this guy's stupid. We don't hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like some uneducated... I'm an uneducated motherfucker talking about numbers. What do I know? But look at Homer right there doing shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's stupid. That was stupid, and I knew just like the fight with those two fuckers. It was just like he spit that out, and everybody was believing it. And then the main people who didn't believe it knew it wasn't true. Started blasting him for it. You know, he regretted saying that, I'm sure. I knew, dude, because back in the day, I remember when I realized, I forget how many years ago, I sent a tweet out. I just tweeted some of my thought. I can't even remember. And it was about Brian Caraway. Hmm. Remember when I sent a tweet out about him?
Yeah.
That shit went viral, man. People were like, hit me up. It was a bigger, and I was like, that's crazy. What the fuck? And then after that, I was like, oh, shit, I say something, it'll go fucking viral. So
yep.
I would just keep my mouth shut until I had something to say, and I'd spit it on Twitter or something, go everywhere. So that's when I knew. I'm like, I got a bigger following than all these motherfuckers. If I could send a tweet out and it go, and that many people look at it, how many people are watching me fight? This is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what fighters don't realize, is that they're the business. And if they don't start treating themselves like it, no one's going to get nowhere, you know? And if you guys keep saying, yeah, I'll fight anybody, it's like, of course you will. That's why you started, right? That's why I started. I'm like, I'll fight any motherfucking buddy. I'm in this shit to be the baddest motherfucker. And if you're not in it to be the baddest motherfucker, I don't even know what the fuck you're doing it for. You know what I'm saying? If I don't think I can beat everybody, what the hell am I fighting for? I think I'll beat everybody still, in every weight class too. I'm not talking about 3-5 minute round. I'm talking about to the real end. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? I'll beat everybody. I'll find a way. Type of me in black belt jiu-jitsu and pro boxer, if I was not fighting MMA, I'm a triathlete. I'm like, everything is a martial art, and I've figure if you're a real martial artist, true martial artist finds a way to win, you know? And these guys are like, I'll fight anybody. I'm like, yeah, because you're saying that to the media and you think people are eating it up, and they did the one time you said it, so you keep saying it. Shut the fuck up. Treat yourself like a business and quit fucking, I'll fight for free. I'm like, well, that don't help nobody. That's bad karma for you, for even fucking stupid ass Cowboy Cerrone says that shit. I'm like, that's bad karma for just everybody. I'm like, because you'll fight for free now, everybody else has got one. Like, why would they pay us? Because they got dumb shits like you fighting for free. Start acting like a businessman and start treating yourself like a business and get your ass paid for being in a octagon. The whole world watches you fight, and entertainers are there in the front row. I'm sitting there with Little John and fucking Mike Tyson and who else? Everybody, anyone you could think of that's famous is sitting front row. Baseball players, these guys are going to pay $1 million, and we're entertainers, entertaining entertainers. So shouldn't that make us like creme de la creme? Shouldn't we be the best of the best? Like, shouldn't we be paid the fuck out? Why are you fighting for free, you dumb shit motherfucker? Oh, that shit gets on my last nerve.
I want to go
back. We're the business. So sure. If people aren't acting like they're the business, you ain't going to get no business done, and no one's going to get shit, and you keep bowing down. And like, if my biggest payday was just the other day, my last fight, all the work, hard work I put in and all the shit I've done, then it's a wrap. I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to maximize my potential. Whatever I could get out of this, I'm going to get, rip, and take. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit back and say I'll fight anybody. No, I've been there. I've been did that. I don't have to say that. Now I'm like, fuck you. Pay me, motherfucker, you know?
Mm. So you're content if you don't fight again?
I'm content with getting paid the fuck out for my duties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even the fight, in my last fight, they're like, finally, you got paid. Congratulations. I'm like, no, nigga, that's reimbursement is what that is. I haven't even been paid yet.
Right.
And I'm going to continue to represent for my shit and say what's what and get what's mine. Because don't no one want to see no other fight. What do you want to see? You want to see me fight and you want to see Conor fight. He's the biggest draw. I'm the biggest draw. He comes to fight for real.
May have lost him there for one quick second. Went back to a...
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I was saying, someone called me. That fucks up the whole shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying,
it froze it.
I was saying, I'm the biggest draw. He's the biggest draw. He comes in there to fight. You know what I'm saying? He does. He comes forward. He tries to take you out. And he tries to knock you out. He tries to spin and kick you. He tries to do all this shit. And he's fucking got moves. And he's martial arts. He's trying to improve his craft right now. He's trying to get better. That's why I had to skip out on all that conference. So it's all good. I didn't even give a fuck about that. I'm like, let him fight. I understand what he's doing. And then what do you got with me? When have I not came to really fight and whoop a motherfucker's ass, you know?
Hmm.
Like, for real. So what do you got? Two motherfuckers. And we ain't friends. And it ain't all good if we're fighting. You know what I'm saying? He ain't my worst enemy, but he signs a fight. We're not friends for shit, you know? So what do you want to see? You want to see a freak show boxing match with homie?
No. You got another?
Or do you want to see a freak show boxing? You like that? And yeah. Then back out.
Yes.
But I'm like, what do people want to see? Like, I know what I want to see. If I'm a fucking fight fan.
I want to ask you about that week prior to 197 when they were supposed to have that press conference, and Conor, you know, says he's retiring and all that. You were in Vegas and they have this press conference and you show up. And there's the empty seat, and Dana White says they want you on the card, but you said you only want to fight Conor. What was your take? Like, were you happy? Like, for you, you're like, okay, I showed up, here I am. Or in hindsight, do you feel like you shouldn't have showed up? What's your take on all that, how that whole thing went down in Vegas prior to that, prior to the press conference and at the press conference itself?
Well, they told me I was going to just hang out, and I didn't think I needed to go to that press conference. I was just there, and then they told me, they're like, just come. They were like, just come down here and go to press conference and this and that. And I remember how they did Nick versus Jordan when George showed up and he was sitting there and Nick didn't show up and they're like, what's going on, this guy? Like, I'm like, I wasn't trying to make, right? Like, I don't want to go down there and make this guy look like an asshole for not showing up to a press conference. Who the fuck gives a shit? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Fucking sell it. Disrespect. He didn't show up. All right. But I'm not disrespected. They're pissed, you know. But, like, it's all good. Like, he got catching up to do.
Hmm.
He's like a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. He's got some shit to work on. And he's got some punching to work on. And some cardio to work on. And I wouldn't be showing up to that shit either still. I wouldn't be wasting no time. So I was just there. They told me to be there and do my thing. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do my thing. And then... And then I went home, so.
Did they try to offer you someone else to stay on the card?
No, I think they were talking with my management about some other names or something, but I wasn't, like I said, I had just fought.
Yeah.
And the next day they were like, we want you to fight Conor again. They didn't like that I lost. They're like, we got to get you out of here. We need to get that one back. So they told me on the final, I'm like, cool, I'm not fighting. I'm not going to fight just to fight. I want to fight for, you know what I'm saying? If they were offering me something major, then I would have been all about it. But there was nothing major to offer. They were just like, well, how about this guy? No, nothing too, they were too enthusiastic about either, you know? I don't think they were, like, over-aggressively trying. They were just shot a few names if I wanted to.
Sure.
So, like, I'm cool.
And so there you are sitting there. The fight doesn't happen. Are you surprised that they didn't, like, that they didn't actually try to figure out, you know, they said, okay, you missed the press conference. Maybe, you know, we'll fine you or something. Like, are you surprised still that you guys aren't fighting at 200 after all of that? Because it felt like the fight was bigger after all that drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the fight will still continue to get bigger.
You think that if you guys fight at some random number like 203, 204, it gets more than 200 as far as pay-per-views are concerned?
More than UFC 200?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I think there's a lot of hype behind the 200 thing.
And
it would have been pretty big, but I think it's going to be big regardless, you know? I think there's no other fight to see, you know? I was talking to Dana White and Lorenzo, and they're like, what's up, UFC 202? And we're like, who else is on that card? And they were like, whatever, let's just put you two on the card.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And he's like, let's bring your boy Chris. He wants to fight. We could put him up against Artem fucking Connor.
Chris Avila?
Like, yeah, bring it. Yeah, Chris Avila.
Against Artem.
So I was like, against Artem, yeah.
So they want to do that.
Fuck. They're talking about bringing Chris with me, yeah.
So, wow.
I don't necessarily want to fight on the same card as my partners, but if they want him in, let's bring him in. He's a hitter though, so it's gonna be.
How would you feel about fighting on the same card as your brother?
I wouldn't. I don't like to fight on the same card as people I train with, or my brother especially, or anybody, because I think fighting should be selfish sport, you know? You ain't got time to think about, you shouldn't be having to think about anybody else but yourself, you know?
Okay.
For the training building up to that fight, like, I feel like it should be all about you a little bit, or your partner, whoever is the guy fighting.
Sure.
And then fight night should be all about you and what you gotta do, and you shouldn't be, like, having to worry about anybody else. Otherwise, you're not focused on what you're gonna be focused on, and I don't want none of that shit going on in my head. So I'd rather just fight on my own.
Mentally, is it a little frustrating that, like, you signed a contract to fight in July and then it gets taken away? Like, does that kind of, you know, like, because when you sign a contract, you become committed to a date and a fight, right? And now it's gone, and it sort of feels a little bit, I don't know, like it's unfulfilling. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that bother you at all? The fact that you're not preparing to fight on July 9th, or once the fight fell through, you're just like, all right, I'm cool, I'm just gonna chill out. How do you handle that?
It's no sweat on my back, man. Okay. It's like, shit don't affect me much like that, you know? I'm like, I'm always training to fight, always. Of course, you can always be prepared better for a fight if you know it's coming. But especially in the circumstances I was just in, I just beat you. I'm like, you're gonna have me fight this motherfucker in two months? You're gonna have me fight that motherfucker. You think he's gonna be good enough to fucking not get his ass whooped this time? Not that I can't get caught with some hot shit, because anybody can in a fight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't ever think anybody's invincible. You gotta be aware of what can happen. But he got a lot of shit to work on in 2 months, so I feel like it was all kind of planned out. Like, pull at the end, because it's like built up and it fucking pissed people off, and then it's back on and it's good and it's great and it's like whatever. And I don't think he was in that first fight at 200 the whole time. I don't think I was wondering. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, he really wants to get back in there in 2 months. I might, like, ass whooping on your ass could fucking do a lot to you. You know what I'm saying? You're like, fuck, am I going to be better in 2 months to fight this motherfucker? So I didn't think, I was like, oh, what a surprise, motherfuckers. I didn't think it was a big deal. I was like, all right, it'll happen sooner or later, because what do people want to see? You know what I'm saying? What do you want to see? Who do you want to see fight? Who do you want to see me fight next?
Oh, my. I mean, I honestly, there are, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing you fight for a belt at 155. I do agree, though, that you are, like I said at the top, top five draws in the
beyond
game.
Beyond belts. We're beyond belts. We're beyond belts. You know what I'm saying? It's not about belts.
Okay.
It's like, dude, it's been like that, though, forever. When have I ever been like, I want the belt? Have you ever heard me say that?
Right.
No. They gave me the Ben Henderson fight the one time. I wasn't enthusiastic about the fight or anything. I'm like, I gotta fight this boring guy who's not gonna fucking, I know what makes a good fight, two fighters,
sure.
You know? And
What about GSP? MMA. His coach, GSP's coach, was going on Twitter saying that they wanted you. He never called.
Yeah, they wanted that fight for sure. They wanted that fight. They still want that fight. If I stepped up and was like, "What's up, GSP? Let's fight, motherfucker!"
Yeah,
they'd step right in. They're waiting for some big. Nobody's fucking giving that guy no attention, so they ain't stepping in. And then they were acting like, "Oh, we didn't really want him." Like, get the fuck out of here, because I didn't play in and said, because you know what? That's not my fight. Fight my brother. That's your guy's fight. You fucking squeeze fucking one out, holding on for your life against my brother. Like, I don't want nothing to do with that. Hmm. I don't want to, like, that's my brother's fight. My brother was going to go there one time, and he's like, I'm going to slap the winner out of Aldo and McGregor. And I was like, and I was about to fight Johnson the week after that. Okay. And I was like, hold up. I was like, don't go over there and steal my fight. Yeah. The fuck you think I'm training for this Michael Johnson motherfucker for, to get that fight?
Right.
Like, you're going to go steal my shit? We didn't even have that talk. I was like, no. I just was on the phone. I was like, no, don't go over there. I'm like, I'm fighting him next. And he's like, all right. So he didn't go.
Wow.
But in my head, I had all those conversations. Like, no, motherfucker. I'm fighting this fool to get that fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There was enthusiasm and motivation behind that fight. I was like, I'm going to fight this fool. I'm going to get that fight with that little motherfucker. I was like, that shit was all premeditated shit. I knew what I was going to do. It's not like some fucking right place, right time shit. I was like, I'm going to go get my shit. This motherfucker stepping out of pocket, talking shit on all these different weight classes. I'm going to go get mine. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I was like, took this fight with the number 5, got the highest ranked guy I could fight. I was like, I'm going to whoop his ass. And he toughed it out and did what he could and made it through that fight. I thought I was going to take him out, you know? And if I didn't get taken out, I was like, it's going to be kill or be killed. I was like, I'm going to get that fool if you don't get me. And I was like, afterwards, I'm going to get the fight with little motherfucker. And motherfucker should be fucking stepping the game up and following the path, because that's how you do it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like an accident. Mm. I seen everybody calling out Conor McGregor. That's a nice tweet, fucking dork. Like, step your ass up, make a scene, and fucking get your fight. So when I won my fight, I was like, what's up, motherfucker? And I acted the fool, and I was like, but what did I do? I did what I got to do to get a fight. And if you ain't doing it right, you don't belong in the business. And they're putting all these non-fighters in this business. So you got a bunch of non-fight fucking lame fights. Weed these fuckers out. Pay maximum amounts of money to good fighters. And then we only have the crew. You'll have a fucking roster of fucking 40, 60 people who are bad as fuck. And you only get in if you're bad as fuck too. Hmm. You know? And then that's where the money's at. Instead, they're like, you're fired. We got a new guy we're paying $2,000 to. You're fired. We're paying a new guy. So I'm like, so, and everybody's like trying to be politically correct and act like each other, and everything they say, dude, everything everyone says is something that is obviously that they think people want them to say. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. You ain't gonna catch me saying no shit that I feel like I'm supposed to say because it's polite or it's nice or some shit, you know? And I try to be nice as well. You know what I'm saying? I gotta not be a fuckhead. But you know, but when you're in the, how are you gonna not be if you're trying to fight people and be an ass whooper? We tune in to watch real ass whoopers and real ass whoopings. So let's start acting like some real ass whooping ass whoopers, you know? So
did you notice after 196, like how the MMA community was so happy for you, like when you were on Extra and everyone, even, you know, like the reporters and fans, everyone just seemed genuinely happy that you were getting this attention finally, that you were finally being talked about. Did you notice all that? Did you appreciate that?
Yeah, I did. And I appreciated it because I know real people that like are appreciating that type of thing are actually paying attention to what's really been going on.
Yeah.
I've been fighting for a lot of years and like I said, you say a couple cuss words, and they're like trying to put you down on the undercard, and they just have to act like they don't want that, but that's what they want to go down. You know what I'm saying? So if everybody starts acting for real, we'll get a for real fight league going on. Oh shit, for real fight league.
Yeah,
that's my new fight league.
You're starting
for real fight league.
Are you starting one?
I am.
Okay,
we just came up with that together. Me and you are going to business. Me and Ariel are for real fight league.
All right, I'm in. What about that mural? How did you find out about that, and how did you react to that? I mean, that you have been immortalized in your hometown. That doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Like a lot of people are were Instagramming it and
yeah,
putting it on social media. And I'm like, where the fuck is that? And I went and saw it one day. I went and saw it with my boy. We're driving around. We were like, well, what do we do? Let's go down and check out that mural. And I don't know how we found out where it was, but we went down there. And some like street artist that.
Do you know who?
Probably. I gotta find his name so I can put so yeah. I can give him a shout out.
Yeah.
But he went and painted it up, and he does stuff like that in other places too. So I went down there and I saw it, and it's on a building, and the people in the building wanted it there too. So
wow.
It's like there and it's staying. Yeah. And then every time, like if I went there right now, there. Remember I called you that day?
Yeah.
On FaceTime, we went by there.
Yeah.
Well, every time I go by there, there's people driving by.
Wow.
And fucking and taking pictures. Like the last time I went with Dana and Lorenzo, and we went out and we took the picture, and the people started running out of the stores. They're like, you're here. And they're like, people are stopping by here all day and night taking pictures of this shit.
Wow.
Like, that's pretty cool. So if you're ever in Stockton, stop by the mural, put your little picture up, and then everyone will know where you were at.
Does it feel different when you walk around? Do you get more love, more attention? Do people stop?
There's a lot more attention, and it's funny because with me and Nick too, no one knows the difference. They're like, good fight, Nick. So we're the same guy. It's all good. I don't correct people no more too. They're like, Nick Diaz. I'm like, what up? And then they'll be like, good fight against Conor. I'm like, man, you really don't know what's going on.
Wow.
But they think that I fought Conor and Anderson.
Oh.
it's funny. It's hilarious how people are. And then, well, last night I'm at the gym at like 2 a.m. and this guy's like talking to me. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, you fight. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, I got a brother. He was talking about the silver fight. I'm like, no, that was my brother. And he's like, oh, but you fought the Irish guy. I'm like, I fought the Irish guy. He's like, you so not your brother. And then he's like, your brother fights too. I'm like, Nick, we just talked about this. He was so confused on who. I was like, we both fight. We fight different people. But yeah, it's a lot more attention than it was. But it usually is after every fight. But that was a big one, not because of only the fight, but the hype. Like that, I hopped in that fight.
Yeah.
I went to the track here, the college, Delta College.
Yeah.
And I was doing sprints. I met up with my coach. I was all fat and out of shape. I was like, let's go. He thought, we got to whoop you in the shape. We got to go do a track workout. So we went, and football practice was going on, and track kids were out there, and we're running around the track. And because it was all over the news that I was filling in for, it was going everywhere, and, the whole football team was like, holy shit, you're the guy. And they were like, stuck. And they're like, represent. They're like, kick that fool's ass. And I took a picture with the whole football team and all the track kids. And they were like, we got an ice bath. And I hopped in an ice bath. I never jumped in an ice bath. I was like, they're like, get in. And we're like, and everybody from the town was showing me love. It was real cool. And I felt a lot of support going into that fight. I thought it was cool how that was, you know. I was back at the gym. I was back at the gym that night too. At like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, and I was hitting some weights and working in there. And people were coming up at 2 a.m, like, "What's up? Kick his ass!" And on the TVs, you know how you're on the treadmill, they got the
TV
and like the. And then it was like that. It was showing videos of us fighting and shit all over the.
Wow.
All of the gyms are pretty crazy, pretty cool.
You know, when your brother got that crazy suspension from Nevada last September, the 5-year suspension, which has since been reduced and he's going to be free to fight in August, he sent me a statement about just how he was feeling and his life and really opened up about some things that we never knew about. And at the end, what I thought was the most powerful was that he said that, you know, he feels like he got you into fighting and he needs to figure out a way to get you out. Because he kind of always felt uncomfortable with the idea of you fighting as well. He has said this in many, many interviews. Does what happened to you, what has happened to you over the last couple of months, does that sort of make it better in your mind? Does that validate, you know, him getting you in and you guys taking the risk of being fighters and putting your health on the line and all this work, the blood, sweat, and tears, 10 years in the UFC, all that stuff? Does it make it better at all? Or do you still feel like he feels the same way and do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think he felt the same way, and I felt the same way. I understand why he felt like he got me into this, because he did, you know. All the positives all the positives that I do, like, he's my brother and my training partnership, but he's like the guy, he's my guy, he's like, I'm Cesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and and Richard Perez boxing and all that. But as a martial artist, I'm a product of Nick Diaz, you know. So I give all the positives that I do and all the outcomes that come from me, I credit him and happy for that he put me on this journey. Like, all my credit goes to him, you know. And any negatives that come out of anything that happens with me, I feel bad that I let him down in any way, you know. When I say stupid shit on here or whatever, more like everything in my mind is like, fuck, I hope I didn't piss Nick off on this one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that with nobody, you know, but that's my bro, and I think he's the best fighter in the world, and he deserves all the credit, and he's had a hard road, a long road, and it's still hard, and it's still going, and the show must go on, you know? Like, it's like a movie, it's like a story, like how you're saying, is it all paying off? But the show goes on, the ride's still going, you know? There's still a lot of ups and downs that are probably coming our way, and I don't think of it like it's all said and done.
Okay.
If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, the ball's still rolling.
Do you get the impression he'll come back and fight when he's up in August, when the suspension is over?
I think he will. I think if there needs to be Nick's a big deal, man. That's a special, special human being, a special type of badass. People aren't made like him, you know. I can't say what he's gonna do because he's so unpredictable. If I expect to see him in an hour, I most likely won't see him. If I don't expect to see him in an hour, I'll probably see him pop up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's unexpected.
Yeah.
Even for me, and I probably know him better than most people.
Right.
And I still have no clue what the fuck he's gonna do. But I think if there's a big deal, something big and good to do, and I think it better be a big deal if they're gonna call him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean,
I think it should be. I think it should be, you know. He's a super fighter. He's not just like anybody else.
Right, of course. Yeah. So you believe, going back to what happened on Friday, you still think they're still talking to you. Like, Friday wasn't the end of the communication. It continues, but nothing's done for August 20th. Is that fair to say?
Nothing's done. But
do you think it happens for August 20th?
Yeah, I don't think any damage was done, and I don't think anything good has happened yet. But we're still on good terms. I've been texting with Dana.
Okay,
and he's real cool. Like, there was no big upset. Like, I'm sure he wasn't the happiest at the moment, and I was thinking like, wow, I think I might have pissed him off. But I just said what I had to say, and I told him at the end. I was like, I don't want to piss no one off. I'm just trying to get mine because it's time to get mine. You know, it's been a long road.
Sure.
And I need to get mine when I can. If not, I don't think I ever will. And he's like, I understand, man. It's not about pissing people off. It's not about me being pissed or whatever. He's like, we just got to figure it out. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we've been texting a little bit.
Good.
And Lorenzo and my manager, Lloyd, have been talking. And I think everybody's getting along, and we're going to figure it out. But I learned to stop losing sleep over shit, you know, because I lost a lot of sleep over this whole shit.
This particular?
I mean, this whole career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. I haven't slept in years, really. But you know what I'm saying? But I'm not sweating it.
Sure.
So it's all good.
Would you want to fight August 20th? Does that make sense to you to fight? You know, it's not that far away. It's less than 3 months away.
If it's right.
Yeah.
If everything works out right, straight up financially.
Yeah.
I'll fight tomorrow. You know?
How much?
It's all good.
Did you mind? I gotta ask. Apologize for asking, but how much are you asking for, financially?
$100 million.
I think it's deserved. If I'm being honest, yeah. I think they should give you that up front, right? Just for show.
Yeah. Up front, and then pay per views.
Oh, and then it's amazing.
More than that, even. But it's all good. We'll see where I go. Maybe we meet in the middle somewhere.
I said on Monday that you're an incredible negotiator, and I feel like the true secret to being an amazing negotiator is being you know, willing to walk away. Like, you are at peace with walking away. If the deal doesn't get done, no sweat off your back. And that's because sometimes you negotiate a little bit scared. You want the deal, so you don't want to push too much. You don't want to play too hard. But it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, if this rematch doesn't happen, you will not you know, sit in a corner and cry. You will not, like, end your life. You're going to move on and do other things. That's the sign of a true
Ninja. I didn't get my ass whooped, so I ain't losing no sweat over right. it. I ain't losing no sweat over something I don't got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm a 10-year veteran in the fight game and a 10-year veteran now. I mean, fuck, in the UFC, and a 10-year veteran in negotiating and bullshit like that. And I've had plenty of downs. So it's time for an up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you want to do more media now? Do you want to be on covers? Like, do you feel like you're getting pushed doing things like that from them? Do you want that?
Yeah. Well, I'm being held back still. I'm still ain't getting no.
Really?
All I get is my Ariel Helwani love. You know what I'm saying?
There, always. You always have a home here, my man.
It's on the rope. Stuff's coming. I got people hitting me up, and we're going to get shit going. But I'm talking. We're going to be on the front of Rolling Stone and Esquire and all that shit.
Really?
We're coming up soon. So, well, that's the plan. That's what we're going for. Otherwise, why are we doing this, you know?
Look at you. I mean, I will admit, it's a bit of a step down from my show, but still important nonetheless, still big nonetheless.
But you don't have Ariel Helwani magazine, so otherwise you'd be on the front of that one.
That's right. I would devote, you know, a whole year to you, just a different cover, like Oprah, you know?
Yeah, what happened to my represent shirt? You never wore that thing, huh?
Yeah, no, I actually put it up for a while. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking today, I should have brought it for today's show. But I don't know if you noticed this. It's been kind of covered by the thing. I represent it right here with the round 5 figurine. There it is. Old school. You see that?
All right. Is that me? Yeah, I'm buff. Look how big my feet are.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Those things got big-ass feet.
You're wearing the old school D-Throne. But they got your Cesar Gracie logo right over there. And there you are.
There you go.
You have one of these? Represent. You have one of these?
I have one of those. Yeah, I do.
This is nice. How is Represent? Do you own that company?
It's rephard.com. Represent is my partner's. I had some guys that invested in me, and then I invested back, so we're doing good. You know, represent.com, rephard.com, I think it relates to fighting, not only fighting anything, you know. It's like, yeah, like you represent anything okay. you do, you know. Represent
yep.
for your partner, represent for your team, represent for jiu-jitsu, represent for boxing, represent for skateboarding. And I think everybody's representing some. Otherwise, why are we doing this, you know, in the fight game you represent. So I thought it was something good to go. I made some represent shirt back in the day, and I like that. Represent. Mm. Represent the 209 straight up. So, okay. Yeah, rephard.com. Some guys that hit me up and wanted to start it all up. So it's been doing well, too. And he's got cool gear. If anybody wants to check that out, it's rephard.com.
Okay, I don't want to take up more of your time, so we'll wrap this up. What's the message for the people out there? To all the people watching, this is our most watched episode ever. No doubt about that. What do you want to tell the people? Where are we at right now with Nate Diaz's career? What do you want the story to be taken out of this?
Take what you want from it. It's all good. I just Ariel's been calling me, man. I just wanted to chop it up with you and get your interview. I've been dodging you for 20 years, so I'm glad you called, and it was good to be on the show.
Yes, it has been a while since I've been asking you to come on the show. In fact, I think I'm the only journalist who didn't speak to you after 196, but here we go. Wow, did you make it up to me, giving me a special edition, a Wednesday edition. We don't do this for anyone. We don't do. I mean, this is a big deal. I don't know if you noticed this. This is special stuff. So, but I would do it again.
I was trying to get on Monday with everybody else, but
yeah.
But I just was a late caller, so it didn't work out. It didn't work out for me. So my bad about that.
All good. Okay. So for now, we wait and see what happens. It could be August 20th. It could not be. You're just sitting back. You're waiting for things to happen with your great manager, Lloyd Pearson. You got a great PR guy, Zach Rosenfield. I mean, what a team you have over there. You guys are killing it.
Those are my guys right there.
Yeah, Zach. I love them.
Zach's the man.
I love those guys. So you're just waiting. You're letting them do their thing. And if it's not, if it could not be Connor, you're not really, there's nothing really, you know, coming to mind as far as something that interests you right now, right? Is that fair?
No, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm just sitting back. I'm still kicking back. I'm debating on a beach to go to.
Oh.
And just hang out for now, you know. I might meet up with Van Damme again
next
week.
Look at you.
LA, we might hit the UFC or something.
Wow. Oh, wow. You're going to go to the fight?
Yeah. I think we're going to, that's in LA, right? Who's
it's in
there?
Inglewood, up to no good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's Luke Rockhold against Michael Bisping and Dominic Cruz against Uriah Faber. North Kelly.
Oh, that's a good fight. Yep. Faber and Cruz, yeah, that should be good. Yeah, well, most likely we'll be there. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be out that way.
Nate, get rich or die trying, my man.
All right, I'm working on it for sure.
You're the man, Nate Diaz. Thank you so much for this. It means the world. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on and talking to everyone. Good luck with everything. Hopefully it won't be a couple of years since until we talk again. But I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate this, my man. Thank you so much.
All right, Ariel. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Nate Diaz, the 209 zone, Stockton zone, Nathan Diaz. Wow, how about that? We've said it all. We've done it all. Great stuff from Nate Diaz. 1 hour strong, just a little over an hour with him. And my man Adam in the back is telling me that the artist who put together that mural is a young man by the name of Jared Rustin. So if it is Jared, and good catch there, Adam, kudos to him. That thing is amazing. I'm not surprised, mother effers. What a song. I listen to that song every morning when I wake up. A beautiful piece of music. So we'll see. You heard it there. Still talks. August 20th was on the table. Wasn't the big blow up that everyone thought it was going to be. Still on good terms. If you want that fight, if you are a fan of that fight, if you like the idea of Conor and Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz fighting once again, then there is still some hope. Now, of course, there are some people, as I mentioned, that, since Monday, there have been reports. I get these tweets all the time about the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight. And I told you that there are some people in these circles who do believe that at some point this could happen. But again, as you hear there, that's the fight they're trying to make. It's the Conor-Nate rematch. The thing that you have to keep in mind, and by the way, if you can catch the audio of Brian Stann's SiriusXM radio show, that happened yesterday, Tuesday night. What's going on here? If you can catch the audio of Brian Stann's radio show, he talks about how the absurdity of this fight and where it stands right now. I mean, if Brian Stann says something, especially with conviction, you know it to be true. And I echo those sentiments. Remember two things when you hear these rumors. First of all, there's no one really for Floyd to fight right now in the boxing world. I mean, there aren't a lot of opportunities for him. Big names. His fight against Berto bombed. You have to remember when you hear these reports, if you want to call them that, that this benefits Floyd Mayweather very much. He's showing up on Showtime Sports. He's showing up on a Showtime broadcast and talking about Conor McGregor. Why? Because Conor McGregor is a massive draw. We all know that. And he recognizes that. He also recognizes that there aren't that many draws in boxing right now. Who's he going to call out? Pacquiao again? Who's he going to call out? Canelo? Clearly, there's no real interest in Triple G. So who's he going to call out? Calls out the guy who's going to get him a lot of attention, who understands marketing, who understands hyping things up, who will take the bait and play along a little bit, and it's all well and good. You also have to remember when you hear these reports and consider the source that, like Nate said, and I will reiterate that you know, these reports keep coming out to sort of tell him, like, hey man, if you don't want to take this fight, we're going to move on to this one. That's a big money fight. But do you really think that it's one or the other? It's negotiations. It's games. It's not one or the other. I hope you didn't buy your hotel room for September 17th. Not right now. And if something changes along the way, I will be happy to report it. And you can't come back and say, hey, you know, this and that happened and you said this and that. No. We're talking right now. Crazier things have happened in this world. James freaking Toney fought Randy Couture in a UFC fight. Crazy things happen. But right now, that's all kind of, just consider the source. That's all I'm saying. Consider who's being told what. Consider how it's being done. Nate gets it. And it's clear that he's not, you know, falling for it. So it's going to be interesting to see if they make the fight. No doubt about it that it's a big one. No doubt about it that it's what people want to see. But will they get it done? We finally heard from the man. We finally got his side of the story. We finally got the the 411, as the kids call it, the download, if you will, from Nate Diaz. What a treat that was, right? How much fun was that? That was awesome. Thank you very much to his team for helping setting that up. Thank you very much to his manager, Lloyd. Thank you very much to his publicist, Zach. I appreciate them more than they know, and I appreciate all of you for tuning in. That's it. It's a short MMA hour. In fact, it's the closest we've ever been to an hour in a very long time since the early days of our program. It's the closest we've ever been to actually an hour. So for all of you people who have been asking us to be an hour, here you go. Your wish has been granted. We are essentially a little more than an hour. You can hit my music. That's what you're getting. I said it's Nate Diaz only, and you're only getting Nate Diaz. Now, I will remind you that tomorrow we will be airing the MMA Beat, normal time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, I believe 6 p.m. in the U.K. And once again, if you like this show, it's usually, you know, 4 or so hours long, and it usually airs on Mondays at 1 p.m. This is sort of like when Howard Stern had Madonna in the afternoon. Sometimes when a guest is big enough, you change things around for them. You accommodate them. In my opinion, Nate Diaz deserves that. And I'll say what I said at the top of the show, post 196. It is good, and I think I speak for the entire MMA community. Everyone is very happy to see him finally get the attention, respect, and love that he deserves. Getting out of his brother's shadows, they're two separate people, getting that attention, getting that love, getting that respect, and hopefully getting paid what he deserves. I think everyone is happy to see that. So much power to him. So anyway, this show is usually on Mondays. Next week we're on Tuesday because of Memorial Day to kick off our UFC 199 coverage. Then I'll head over to Inglewood, California. But what a treat this was. Nate Diaz live on a special Wednesday edition of the MMA Hour. Wow. You live for this sort of thing. Thank you very much to Nate for doing it. And I certainly appreciate it. What a treat that was. Back on Tuesday, same time and place. Again, thank you so much. If you missed anything, check it out. iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff and more. Until next time, peace. I'm out of here.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.